Hi, I'm Tom Rogers, Vice President of the Qigong Institute. This is the third in the Qigong Institute series of podcasts about Qigong. The Qigong Institute is a 501c3 nonprofit organization which is dedicated to Qigong research and education and to educating the public on the immediate and long-term benefits of Qigong. All officers and directors are volunteers. There's no paid staff. This podcast is an interview with Ken Sunsir, the founder of the Qigong Institute. At 86, Ken still drives his own car, loves Asian cuisines, gives invited talks at international conferences, and recuperates in Mexico yearly. He's interested in music, having played piano and cello, the latter with the Peninsula Symphony Orchestra. Reading occupies his scarce spare time, and he's presently working his way through Hegemony or Survival by Noam Chomsky. He also stays active mentally by working on his computer, including scanning the web for upcoming events, news, collecting scientific information for the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database, and some special interests. He's the chairman of the board of directors as well as the founder of the Qigong Institute. He was a research scientist in chemistry at Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, California, where he worked for 33 years. So Ken, what was your first exposure to Qigong?
I had been introduced to Qigong through Effie Chow, who recommended that I study Qigong instead of Tai Chi as a more profound study. So she and I went to China and visited Qigong masters and researchers and collected information.
Why and when did you found the Qigong Institute?
I founded the Qigong Institute as a natural outgrowth of my collecting information on Qigong from China. And I thought that the Chinese had done a wonderful job in promoting and reporting on Qigong. So I wanted to bring that forth to the people in the West. So that's why I started the Qigong Institute.
And how long? Isn't the 10-year anniversary coming up?
Yes, there's the 10-year anniversary coming up. We started in 1997. That was incorporated in 1997. And so this is about 10 years since the beginning, since that time.
So what was the overriding goal or vision of the organization?
I guess the overriding goal was to promote Qigong for scientific understanding of the basis of Qigong.
So why did you decide to dedicate the whole of your retirement to Qigong?
I found that the scientific aspects of Qigong are stimulating a career as my first as a chemist.
So didn't you really start out as a skeptic? Like basically you felt that the claims for the benefits of Qigong had to be proven? It was just too good to be true kind of thing?
Yeah. When I first learned about Qigong from Effie Chow, I could hardly believe some of its claims for health and medical benefits. To satisfy my curiosity, I conducted some experiments on how Qigong affects the body, and I presented these results at several international conferences, including Beijing, Shanghai, Tokyo, and San Francisco.
As a scientist and a skeptic, how did you come to appreciate and value Qigong? How did your thinking evolve?
For me, the scientific studies of many people involved from all over the world, especially from China, had helped me to convince me that the value of Qigong for improving health and healing.
Why did you create the Qigong database?
The Qigong database originated as a means to catalog the vast amount of information I had gleaned from international conferences. Later, the Qigong Institute decided to market the CD containing the database, which originally contained about 1,500 abstracts in English. Presently, the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database contains about 4,000 abstracts. Some are a paragraph, while others are several pages, including information, tables, and statistical information.
So the Qigong Data and Energy Medicine Database started as the Qigong Database. Why did you change the Qigong Database to encompass other energy medicine practices and therapies, such as yoga, Reiki, and therapeutic touch?
I thought that that the database, which was originally designed for Qigong, realized that alternative and energy medicine practices played a complementary role. Hence, I decided to rename the database the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database. These alternative practices include yoga, Reiki, and Tai Chi, and healing touch.
How's the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database being used?
The database is presently used by scientists, by Qigong practitioners, and the public. The content of the outline and the CD versions of the same. However, the online version permits only using one search term, whereas the CD version permits multiple search terms.
In its early years, the Qigong Institute had a lecture series, right?
Yes, we sponsored about 66, 67 different lectures over a period of quite a few years. And in San Francisco, in Palo Alto, in San Francisco State, and so forth. And the best of these 10 lectures are available on DVDs from our website.
How did you get started doing research on Qigong?
I decided that Qigong, or Qi, but probably itself, not measurable, so I designed some experiments to measure the effects of Qigong on the body, including Carolian photography, muscle testing, and electroacupuncture, according to Bohl.
So through the years of other people's research and doing your own, you became convinced of the benefits of Qigong and its scientific basis.
Yes, as a scientist, I became convinced of the beneficial effects of Qigong on health and healing.
Do you publish submitted papers?
In the Qigong Institute, does not publish papers itself. In our Qigong Institute Medicine Database, we list abstracts of published papers, totaling about 4,000.
Where do you get the sources for the Qigong database?
Primarily from PubMed, which is available on the net. It's a subscriber service that provides, you can search for any term such as Qigong, and also from papers that appear in journals, and from just contacts I have with various scientists.
The Qigong Institute has sponsored scientists in China to do studies of the research also, and that appears in the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database too, right?
Yes. Kevin Chen helped sponsor research by Professor Liu in Beijing, and his studies were incorporated in the Qigong Energy Medicine Database.
So tell us about some of your research and publications.
My research as a chemist led to 70 publications and 10 patents. My work in Qigong has led to about 30 publications. My personal research includes such things as the effect of thought on Qigong master and individual on arm muscle test, the effects of Qigong workshop on electroacupuncture points, and numerous papers dealing with the effects of Qigong on anti-aging, neurological illness, and the general topic of medical applications of Qigong.
Can you describe some of the benefits of Qigong that you've written about in your papers?
Research on Qigong's role in high altitude adaptation suggests some practical applications for treating cardiovascular disease. In another case, the combination of Qigong and drug therapy is superior to drug therapy alone, is indicated in two illnesses, hypertension and cancer. Clinical studies are reviewed to illustrate that Qigong can improve the health of people suffering from different chronic medical problems that accelerate the aging process. Clinical studies suggest that a combination therapy of Qigong and drugs is superior to drugs therapy alone, as indicated in two diseases, hypertension and cancer. Qigong therapy can complement Western medicine in many ways to improve healthcare. These studies suggest that practicing Qigong exercise may favorably affect many functions of the body, permitting reduction of the dosage of drugs required for health and maintenance and provide greater health benefits than the use of drug therapy alone. For hypertensive patients, combining Qigong practice with drug therapy for hypertensive patients resulted in a reduced incident of stroke and mortality and reduced dosages of drugs required for blood pressure maintenance. For asthma patients, the combination therapy permitted reduction in drug dosage, the need for sick leave, duration of hospitalization, and cost of therapy. For cancer patients, the combination therapy reduced the side effects of cancer therapy. Also reported in a study showing that the practice of Qigong helps rehabilitate drug addicts. Of course, one of the prime benefits of Qigong is stress reduction, and stress is a causative factor in most illnesses.
So it sounds like there's a lot of benefits to Qigong. What are some of the benefits of Tai Chi, which is a moving form of Qigong?
Well, the popular press, Time Magazine, for example, has called it the perfect exercise. Tai Chi Magazine for Tai Chi practice as a martial art, Tai Chi Cha Chuan, has reported on its benefits. Newsweek has reported on the increasing use of Qigong in hospitals and cancer centers across the country. There have been excellent publications on this in the medical press as well, such as the British Journal of Sports Medicine. Also, Yang Yang at the University of Illinois Kinesiology Department has published a very compelling book on medical benefits of Tai Chi. Tai Chi has been shown to increase the balance control with resulting self-confidence and reduction in falls, especially among the elderly. Studies have shown it's effective for arthritis and pain, osteoporosis, strength, and flexibility. Cardiovascular functioning is also improved. Research has found the Tai Chi to be equivalent to moderate aerobic exercise. Tai Chi reduces cholesterol and blood pressure and increases the capacity of the immune system. The American Journal of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation reported a study showing that Tai Chi is safe for rheumatoid arthritis patients.
Isn't there a lot of Qigong work going on at the National Institutes of Health?
Yeah, well, Congress formally established the Office of Alternative Medicine at the National Institute of Health, NIH, in 1993. In 1988, Congress expanded the mandate and responsibility of the office by creating the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. The budget has been increasingly yearly, from an initial outlay of $2 million in 1982 and estimated in 2005 to 50% increase over 2001. NIH has sponsored over 40 research projects on Qigong and Tai Chi. Studies have involved a wide range of conditions such as AIDS, fibromyalgia, stress, rheumatoid arthritis, cocaine addiction, maintenance of weight loss, knee osteoarthritis, breast cancer, and rehabilitation following cardiac surgery. The research is being carried out throughout the country, including the University of Michigan, University of Arizona, UCLA, New England Medical Centers, hospitals, the National Center of Complementary and Alternative Medicine, and the Oregon Research Institute.
So there's a lot going on in the U.S. How much research on Qigong is taking place outside of the U.S.?
Mostly research is taking place in Japan under the sponsorship of the International Society for Information Science, and they published a journal of the same name, the Journal of the International Institute of Information Science. So, unfortunately, the literature research is coming from China, which originally sparked an interest in the subject. My own research has been considerable, leading to about 30 publications.
So the Qigong Institute's published a lot of its own research and has collected research from all over the world in the form of the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database. What are some of the other Qigong Institute accomplishments in its first 10 years?
Besides the creation of the Qigong and Energy Medicine Database, and publishing research on Qigong, we've created a Qigong Institute website, which is a worldwide Qigong resource, sponsored classes in Qigong locally, created podcasts, organized world Tai Chi and Qigong Day events, and taught Qigong in community centers, high schools and middle schools, and have strived to make the merits of Qigong known to medical practitioners, scientists, policymakers, and the public.
Why promote Qigong?
For me, Qigong has a scientific basis, and from that point of view, it has value as a means to maintain health, and in cases, to heal medical problems. So it is an extremely valuable complement to Western medicine, especially for disease prevention, for illnesses associated with stress and handling chronic disease.
So what's your impression as a scientist on Qigong?
Well, I believe that the scientific studies have validated the medical benefits of Qigong. The most important aspect of Qigong is self-practice. While admitted Qigong, Qi is reported to have some remarkable health and healing benefits, there are too few Qigong masters.
Do you feel it, or do you use it personally?
I have studied Qigong with perhaps 12 instructors and incorporated some of their teachings into an eclectic practice.
Can you feel or direct Qi within your body?
Yeah, I can feel Qi in my own body and direct it to any part of my body.
And could you give us some examples, say, from your practice and any teachers you learned from?
I studied with many teachers. Among them was Effie Chow. She was the first. And Paul Lee, Paul Dong, Tom and Janet Wu, Bengquan Hu, Joe Deischer, Joe Kwok Hu, Andrew Wu, Joe Chu, Ken Cohen, and during the 1666 Qigong lectures sponsored by the Qigong Institute that I organized.
What do you think are the obstacles to people with linear Western minds, and how do you overcome them in order to understand what's essentially a subtle science?
Most Westerners do not have the passions to practice meditation and practice Qigong. In addition, people are skeptical, especially medical people, of the unknown.
What's the role of energy medicine in medicine and human society?
Energy medicine incorporates Qigong and many of the practices derived in some fashion from Qigong. For example, yoga, therapeutic touch, and Tai Chi.
How can one help the Qigong Institute?
When it comes right down to it, donation or membership is the best way. We also try to incorporate the abstracts of our website, of dissertations related to Qigong, so they're available to people online or through by the CD.
So what's your vision of the Qigong Institute in the short term and long term? In other words, what needs to be done to have more people benefit from Qigong?
Well, in the short term, the website is the main window for the world of people who might be interested in Qigong. Therefore, you must attempt to make the website as attractive and understandable as possible. I think that the Qigong Institute should focus on improving the website, including promoting the database and the DVDs that are presently listed. The website should be a means to attract people to Qigong. Presently, there are several video clips of the DVDs. We continue to do podcasts, and listeners can help us get word out on Qigong. The long-term projects, there are many long-term projects. We'd like to help people understand what is available to the medical Qigong therapy and public awareness of the wonderful lifelong health benefits of Qigong. We'd like to create instructional materials for schools and be at the forefront of public education on Qigong. Imagine Qigong and health in physical education classes in high school, and prisons, for example. We want to create informational and instructional DVDs and documentaries that will provide funding for ongoing research and educational efforts, as well as for the translation of the primary Chinese Qigong textbook into English. We want to fund university research and make instructional and informational DVDs and documentaries for public broadcasting corporations and high school, especially appropriate for health and physical education classes, where students could learn important life skills like how to reduce stress in their daily lives. On the long-term vision, we want to sponsor basic research on the scientific Qigong, such as verifying the existence of Qi and its effects, as well as the clinical studies to confirm Qigong's effectiveness. In other cases, publications of Qigong and TCM books, traditional Chinese medicine books, possibly published in international journals on Qigong. Further, to get help, get Qigong and complementary interest in medicine therapies into medical school curricula. Fortunately, some of this is already happening in institutions like Georgetown University School of Medicine and other places. I envision the Institute, Qigong Institute, as a leader in getting Qigong into our educational system and fully accepted and accredited as a complementary medical therapy, fully reimbursed by insurance companies.
So ultimately, how do you describe Qigong?
The science and art of Qigong may open a window into new thinking about health, medicine, psychology, and spirituality. It is a physical, mental, and spiritual practice that continuously supports our natural tendency to homeostasis. Innate abilities have an opportunity to develop the sense more keen, organ functions more consistent and strong, and sympathetic nervous systems relaxed, parasympathetic nervous system more efficient, the mind more relaxed, alert, clear, freely channeling messages in a multiple of new and diverse directions.
This has been an interview with Ken Sanser, founder and CEO of the nonprofit Qigong Institute, which is dedicated to Qigong research and education. We invite you to find out more about Qigong at the Qigong Institute website, www.qigonginstitute.org. Qigong Institute is all one word, Qigonginstitute. Also, check the Qigong Institute website for information on upcoming Qigong podcasts. And thanks for listening.